Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Sebastopol Christian Church family. How's everybody doing today? Hello? Is this mic on? Well, we're going to go ahead and open up our service right now and just go ahead and lifting up the praises of our King. Amen. Let the praises ring. Oh, wait a minute. We got to wait till our bass player gets here. We got to have everybody on board because we're thin today. That's okay. That's okay. You fellowship. Well, I got a new keyboard I'm playing on this morning, so you can let me know later if you think it's okay or not. I can always go back to the other one, but I'm trying it out. You ready? Okay, good. Here we go. 2, 3, 4. Oh Lord my God, in you I put my trust. Yes, Lord. Oh Lord my God, in you I put my hope. Let's sing that again. Oh Lord my God, in you I put my trust. Oh yes I do. Oh Lord my God, in you I put my trust. Oh, yeah, Lord. In you, I find my peace. Yeah. In you, I find my strength. In you, I live and move and breathe.
Yes, we do, Lord.
Let everything I say and do be founded by my faith in you. I lift up holy hands and sing. Let the praises ring. Yeah. And oh Lord my God, to you I give my hands. Oh Lord my God, to you I give my
Oh, I give you everything, Lord.
Oh, Lord, my God, to you I give my everything. Yes, I do. Oh, yeah. Oh, Lord, my God, to you I give my life.
My life, Lord.
In you I find my peace. Everything I say and do be founded by my faith in you. I lift up holy hands and sing. Let the praises ring.
Let's sing it again.
In you I find my peace. In you I find my strength. The praises ring. Let the praises ring. Let the praises ring. Let the praises ring.
Yeah. Faces. The Bible says. You know, when the Bible was written, there weren't microphones, so you didn't have to deal with this. But the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So if you have breath in your lungs, I hope that's what you're doing with us today, praising our great God and King Jesus for all he's done for us. Amen?
Amen.
And we're going to have a great picnic later on today. Lisa's been praying like crazy. You know, she was praying that we wouldn't have hot weather today. I think she got her answer. But now we're going to pray that all the clouds and the haze and everything, that it just burns off by 12 noon. So we'll have a beautiful, cool afternoon over at Libby Park for the picnic today. Hey, if you're a guest with us, we'd love for you to fill out this welcome card. And please put your email, because we want to be a generous church. You know, Jesus is a giver, and we want to be like him. So we would love to give a $5 donation in your name on behalf of the church to one of these great agencies and missions, like the Redwood Gospel Mission and Habitat and the Humane Society or the Food Bank, any one of those. So what'll happen is you'll fill out your name and email. I'll email you. It'll come from me, Jim W. Swaney. And then you'll say, Pastor Jim, please give a $5 donation for this cause in my name. And then we'll get the donation made in your name. So I hope that will be something that you'll fill out. And I hope that you're joining us online. Welcome. We hope that this is a great place for you to grow in your faith and to explore further what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So let's turn one and greet one another this morning. Seat again, and I want to let you know a few announcements, what's going on this morning. First of all, today, as I mentioned, we are having our church picnic after the second service. That means you have a little bit of time to fellowship or hang out or do something. If you don't have your lawn chairs in your car or a blanket or maybe a jacket, depending on the weather, you might want to go home and get that. Where is the picnic going to be today? It's going to be over at Willard Libby Park. It's also called the Super Playground. It's right off Highway 12. If you go toward the coast, down to Pleasant Hill Road, you turn right. There's a big 7-Eleven right there. And the picnic is just past the 7-Eleven. So you make it over there. We'll probably get started over there around 12:30. And I saw the barbecue on the back of the trailer. So they're going to be barbecuing. All the food's going to be provided. Please come And it's going to be a great afternoon of fellowship. Games for the kids and games for the big kids, too. I'm hoping to see some of you guys on the volleyball court and to see who will humble themselves in the sight of the Lord. All right. There, I'll quote a verse. Beth Moore. Okay, ladies, Beth Moore simulcast. You realize how close that is away? I think it's only 3 weeks away for the Beth Moore simulcast, which she's going to be in Alabama, but because of technology, for a live simulcast, Beth Moore is going to be right here on the big screen, along with Travis Cottrell. He's a great worship leader. Lisa and the women's team, they're inviting not only our church, but other churches and their women. And they're all going to be here, and Lisa's praying for this place to be packed out. So that's coming up on September 15th. Now, what do you need to do to get ready for that? Well, there's a sign-up and a registration, because we're providing lunch and all that. If you go to sebchristian.com, which is our website, and you go to the women's ministry page, there is a link. It says sign up here. You click that, and it'll take you to the sign-up registration page to do that. So please do that for the Beth Moore simulcast for the ladies. Our church, I don't know if you knew this, but you know, we have our Barnabas ministry. Chris and Susan White, God bless them. They love to reach out to people in need. There was a family that came by. There was a family that came by church 2 weeks ago, and I think it's a husband and wife and about five kids. They just came into the area. They basically had nothing, and they moved in to an apartment. And it says this, that the children have, they've already received school clothes and school supplies, but the family still needs some items. They still need pots and pans. They still need sheets, family room furniture. If you can contact the church office, or you can also, if you see Chris White, you can say, Chris, what does this family need? Because if everybody brings plates, you know how that works. So we don't want every doubling up on what we're donating. So let's meet this family of need and help them out in that way. Be the hands and feet of Jesus. Hey, I heard Thursday night, anybody go to the very first choir practice for the new season? Yeah, some of you guys did. Norm back there, I heard you got corralled into that, and another male voice, which is great, and they locked him in. I think they put his name on one of the boxes, so he's in. He has to come now. So if you missed last Thursday, you still can come and sing. They're practicing on Thursdays here at 7 p.m., and Becky will let us know when the choir is ready. I thought that was very interesting the way she worded. I will let you know when the choir is ready for our first Sunday, so I think it has something to do with the choir and how you guys are practicing. So there's many other announcements. Check the bulletin. Also on the back of the bulletin, there's other ways for us to connect, because we're only here a couple hours together on Sunday, but we can stay connected during the week via our social media. So you find us on the back. There's our links to Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and you can stay engaged with the activities that we're doing around here. Right now, speaking of activities, we're going to stand together and continue to worship. Mike?
Well, you know, today we're going to sing a few songs that are kind of have a theme about love. Like this song is Because of Your Love, Father, and then all the things that we say with it. Pastor Jim's going to be bringing a message, and it'll have a lot to do about love today. So as we're singing, let's just remember how much he loves us today. Amen. Because of his love. Let's do it. Yeah, Lord.
Yeah. Because of your love, yeah, we're forgiven. Because of your love, our hearts are clean, yeah, clean, yeah. We lift you up with songs of freedom. Forever we're chained because of your love.
Here we go.
Yeah. You poured out so freely from above.
Thank you, Lord.
Lifting gratitude and praises for compassion so amazing. Lord, we've come to give you thanks for all you've done. Because of your love, we're forgiven.
Yes, we are.
Because of your love, our hearts are clean, and we lift you up with songs of freedom. Forever we're chained because of your love.
Yeah.
Because of your love, we're forgiven. Because of your love, our hearts are clean. We lift you up with songs of freedom. Forever we're chained because of your love.
1, 2, 3, here we go.
Yeah.
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 Again.
Yeah.
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 Here we go.
Yeah.
Refer to that song as the yeah, yeah song. Amen. So we got a new song to teach you this morning as April makes her way up here. We need the help. All the help we can get. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's a song called Who You Say I Am. Now, you might, if you listen to K-Love, you might have heard this song begin to be played on K-Love. And it's a great song because it's more about what God has done for us, and that He said that through Jesus, through making His sacrifice and for Him giving life to us, we have become the children of God. So when it says, "Who you say I am," it's saying that I am a child of God, and that's something that we all need to declare. Amen. I am a child of God. You're not an outcast. You're not a redheaded stepchild. You are a child of God. And we're going to learn it together here this morning. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Goes like this.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, He's free indeed. I'm a child. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for.
Aren't you thankful?
Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place.
Let's sing this.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
Sing it again.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am.
Yeah, Lord,
you are for me. Not against me. I am who you say.
One more time.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am.
Yeah.
You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Oh, I am who you say I am.
Again.
Oh, I say. Say I am,
yeah. Who the Son?
Who the Son sets free? Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place. The Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place.
You like that one. I like it. I love to say that. Yeah, amen. Praise God. I love that, you know, to say that I'm a child of God. Why am I a child of God? Because of what Jesus did, right? And you are a child of God because of what Jesus did for us. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward who are going to do communion this morning. Just prepare. I'm going to give a little talk right before we take communion this morning. And it's interesting, you know, when you think about communion, that, you know, everybody approaches communion in their own way. You know, when the piano is playing and the emblems are being passed out, you know, we're all in our place. We're all coming before the Lord. And, you know, it's interesting that the Bible tells us to examine ourselves. That means to, you know, to make sure that we're We're partaking of the emblems in the proper manner. And, you know, I think that when we come before the Lord, I mean, I can't speak for you, but I was going to share the way I approach it. You know, the approach that I have may be different than the way you have, that you go about it. But I like to think of it in a couple different ways. The first thing I do is I think about how great God's love is for me. You know, the Bible tells us and reaffirms us how great is his love. Jeremiah 31:3 says this, "The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with loving kindness." God is reaching out to us. He reached out to us through his son because his love is so great. John 15:13 says this, "Greater love has no one than this, that one would lay down his life for his friends." The greatest love, no greater love than that. John 3:16, of course. In fact, I saw someone with the shirt on says, oh, there he is, Mike. Mike had a shirt on, says John 3:16. We all know that. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." In the Bible it says his own one and only son, whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And then the Bible talks to us about the death of Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians 11, it says, "For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." You know, we think about the Lord's death, and every time we do this, we proclaim it. Just by doing this act. And you know, when you think about the death of Christ and what he did for us, the great price that he paid for us, to purchase us, to ransom us, to make it possible for us to be called, "I am a child of God." When you think about what he went through, it wasn't an easy death. You know, it was a torturous death. He went through so much. I don't know, it to me, that the way that he died means so much to me, that for that reason being that he took so much torture, suffering, and everything. I mean, you know, we've seen the Passion of the Christ, and they depict, if you've seen that, you know, they depict a pretty rough road for Jesus in that movie. And in actuality, you know, I kind of see that. I see the terrible pain that he went through for me. So I think about his death. And then I think about his forgiveness. That death provided forgiveness. Ephesians 1 says this, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us." And of course, we come before God at communion time, and we lay it bare before God and say, "Father, if I've sinned against you, if I've sinned against my brother or my sister, please forgive me." And he's faithful. As First John 1 says this in verse 9, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Would you receive that today? As we prepare, and the last thing we do is we give thanks, right? We're thankful for all he did and all he does in our lives. Father, we thank you today that we can partake of this beautiful communion. The bread is the body, the blood, the wine. Father, we thank you that Jesus poured out himself for us today, and we partake realizing all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, April, and thank you, Mike, for that beautiful communion meditation. Really appreciated that. I was reminded of that other verse that comes out of the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, where he said, "And Christ died for all," which means every one of us. So your name is in that list when it says Christ died for all. And it says, "So that those who live will no longer live for themselves, but that we would live for him who died for us and was raised to life again." So the idea of now that we're alive in Christ, we've been redeemed, we've been forgiven, we have eternal life. Now he says that our goal in life is not just to live to please ourselves, but to live for him who died for us. Part of that privilege of living for Christ is partnering with him in his causes that change this world and bring the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus. So thanks. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to us. Thank you for the life that we now have because he gave his life for us. And Lord, we pray that, the life that we live would be for you and for your glory, and that you would set us free as we hold to your teachings. And the freedom that we have, Lord, I pray that we'd direct our energies and our thoughts and our priorities toward you and toward seeking first your kingdom. And may that be reflected in generosity by our offerings today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Loves me, he is for me.
Jesus loves me. Oh, how he loves me and you, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, Jesus, we praise you this morning.
Thank you, worship team. Great job. Great songs about love. Have you noticed the love theme this morning? We're going to be talking about that in our message today because we've come to the great chapter, one of the highest chapters in all the New Testament, this great chapter on love. If you've been to a wedding in the last 40 years, chances are you've heard these verses from 1 Corinthians 13. I remember one time there was a Muslim debating a Christian. And the Muslim said that the miracle of Allah was in creating this revelation that Muslims believe is the Word of God, called the Quran. And Quran means like recitation or write or recite what the words of Allah are. And they said the words of Allah in Arabic are so beautiful, they're so poetic, there's no other writing on earth like them. And the Muslim turned to the Christian and he said, I challenge you to find anything in your Bible that compares to the beauty and the poetry of the Quran. And he said, well, I'll give you two examples. Psalm 23 in the Old Testament and 1 Corinthians 13 in the New Testament. And I think when you hear these verses that you would agree that these far surpass any other book, any other writing that are out there in the world today. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 13 this morning. Of course, it follows chapter 12, which was last week when we were talking about spiritual gifts. Remember what we learned about spiritual gifts, that when you were saved, the minute you crossed the line of faith, God put his Holy Spirit to indwell in your heart forever, to help empower us, to help encourage us to live the kind of life that Jesus wants us to live. And along with that Holy Spirit, he also gave us at least one spiritual gift. You remember in verse 7, and I quoted four different versions of verse 7 in chapter 12 last week, where it said, now to each one of us, the Spirit is given for the common good, right? So you have at least one or more spiritual gifts. God has gifted you in a unique way to serve and to build up the body of Christ. So your job is to discover your gift, to employ your gift, to experiment, and to see how the rest of the body of Christ confirms whether or not you have that certain spiritual gift. And I cite the choir example as last week. So maybe it will, maybe it won't. Now we reach chapter 13. We're going to be talking about love because Paul's going to say, basically, you could have some of the best spiritual gifts that God ever gave a human being. But if you have those spiritual gifts and you exercise those gifts, and if you are lacking this one thing, it doesn't matter how gifted you are. It doesn't matter how excellent you can speak, or how beautifully you can serve, or how sacrificial you are with your time and your money, and even giving your own life as a martyr. If you can do all of those things and yet you don't have this one thing, Paul says, you missed it. You missed the whole point. Because the spiritual gifts are always meant to be exercised in the context of love. Now, you've probably heard this one too. The world has many definitions of love, right? Love is a many splendored thing. Some of the times when I use the word love, I say I love ice cream, okay? But that's a different kind of love than saying I love my wife. I love that song. It's my jam. I looked that up, by the way, that phrase, it's my jam, just out of curiosity. And this is where I get sidetracked in all my sermons. Yeah, but looking up it's my jam and somebody says, does it have something to do with a spread on bread? I'm thinking, no. You think of a jam like a jam session, for those who are in music and music. So it's my jam means it's one of my favorite songs. So it's my jam. I love that song. I love our country. Whenever you see the American flag, whenever there's an Independence Day or a Memorial Day or a Veterans Day or something like that, your heart just wells up with love and patriotism for your country. I love my family. And you can say, I love Jesus. And you can say, I love this person. Have you ever thought of this one? I love this person even though I don't even know them. Are you able to say that? Are you able to see somebody that you don't even know, that you have no idea what they have to say or what their values are or how they're going to respond to you? And yet you can say, I love that person even though I don't even know them. One young boy was asked to describe what love is, and he said this. He said, well, you know, when my grandmother got arthritis really bad, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather, he does it for her all the time, even when his hands get arthritis too. You know, what a great expression of love. Tina Turner came out with a song about 30 years ago called What's Love Got to Do With It? What's Love Got to Do With It? I looked up the lyrics on that song. I want to know that, you know, when I say something to you, I say, I want to know what I'm talking about. So I looked up the lyrics on that song. And it basically says, what's love got to do with it? We have a physical, talking to this girl, talking to this guy, Tina's talking to whoever, not Ike. And she's basically saying, we have a physical attraction for each other, but don't mistake that for love. What's love got to do with it? And I think if you ran that song by Paul, if you could translate it for him into the first century, and you said, Paul, what has love got to do with it? Paul would say, everything. Love has everything to do with it. If there is not love, there is nothing of lasting value. Look what Paul says in the first verse as we kick off 1 Corinthians 13. He says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Notice what he's going to say. He's going to talk about love, or he's going to talk about the certain exercise of spiritual gifts, and then he's going to compare that to love. And he's going to say, if I have all this stuff but without love, it's pretty worthless. It's just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal without love. Let's go to the next verse. If I had the gift of prophecy, and he's going to talk about prophecy in depth in chapter 14. You know, Lisa gets giddy when we talk about chapter 14, because she's like, that's my jam. I mean, that's her gift. That's her prophecy, is her spiritual, one of her spiritual gifts, even though, as she shared last week, she doesn't like it. But I can tell you she has it. I can tell you I've been the recipient of it many times. And honestly, in the moment it stings sometimes to get rebuked when, because prophecy, I think, is like basically saying there is something going on and it doesn't square with God's teaching or God's word or God's values. And whatever's going wrong needs to be corrected. And so she cannot, I mean, it's just something wells up within her. It's like that prophet Jeremiah where he said one time in the prophecy, he said, you know what? I decided I was just going to shut my mouth. I was going to be quiet. I wasn't going to say a thing. I'm just going to cross my arms. And God, you find somebody else to be your prophet. And then he said, I looked around. And I saw what was going on in Judah. And something just started welling up within me, and it was just like that volcano in Hawaii. Pretty soon it just had to erupt, and he couldn't keep it inside anymore, and he had to say something about it, saying, you guys are not following God the way you're supposed to be. So that kind of is the gift of prophecy, not just foretelling the future, but telling the truth and speaking it in love to God's people to help keep us like good guardrails, keep us on the pathway God wants us to be. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. So there's more spiritual gifts. Without love, they don't count for anything. And then in verse 3, if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body. So now he's talking about being a martyr, which is very interesting. I don't know if Paul knew, if God revealed to Paul at some point in his life, hey, Paul, you're not going to die a normal, you know, old man sitting in bed with your family around you, breathing your last as you're ushered into heaven. Your death is not going to be pleasant. Just like Jesus announced to Peter, when you're old, you're going to go where you don't want to go. And Peter died a martyr's death as well. And Paul also died a martyr's death in Rome. But he said, even if I did all that, and if I gave all I had away, and I sacrificed my body, and was a martyr, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. So I think what Paul is saying in summary, he's saying it's possible to do many good, spiritual, seemingly selfless acts. It's good to do all of those things, but if you do them without love, then you haven't really gained anything. You've really lost it all. Paul's saying to the church family, don't you realize that to love each other the way God loves us, to express that kind of love, that is more important than all the spiritual gifts that he talks about in chapter 12. All those great acts of faith, all those deeds of dedication, all that personal sacrifice isn't going to be worth anything without love. Once you get past the I love ice cream understanding of love, or I love sunsets and walks along the beach, and I like pina coladas and taking walks in the rain and other song lyrics and stuff. Once you get past all of that and you start understanding deeper what love really is, you realize how shallow most of our world's definition of love is. What if love means much more than romance? What if there was a deeper, truer, fuller expression of love that can only be found in God, that can only be seen expressed in Jesus Christ? When Paul talks about love here, he's using a Greek word, and there's four different Greek words for love. This word is called agape love. You've probably heard of that definition before. But agape love is love at its highest level. It's a deeper love than most of us could ever dream or imagine. This love is, it's hard to imagine this because most of us still think in terms of, well, how does it affect me, or what's it going to happen to me, or what's the consequence going to be if I act this way? You know, we're always thinking in that way. This love is completely unselfish, so it goes against our natural inclinations. Love prioritizes the other person. Love is all about the other person. Most of us, when we love somebody, well, I love you because you make me feel good. I love you because I'm obligated to, because you're a family member. I love you because we could even be because God commands me to love you. But even if you love in that way, you're still not loving in the highest expression of love, because the agape love that God is talking about is saying, I love you whether or not you do one thing good for me. Most of the love is all about reciprocity. It's all about I'm loving, like we say, we love God because he first loved us. In that way, our love to God is reciprocal. God loved us first. He showed us what love is, and we're loving God back because he showed us how to do it. To express agape love is to say, I love this person. I don't even have to like them. I don't have to prefer them. I don't have to like what they say or like the way that they look. They don't have to be of my tribe. Most of us, when we look at other people, it's like we sort of size them up and we say, well, how are they dressed? What do they look like? How do they sound? How do they carry themselves? What are their opinions about certain topics? You know, do I like them or not like them? And it's all based on this grid of evaluation that we do in our own hearts. And then we decide whether we're going to care about them or not. And God's saying, throw that out the window. And just love people because they're human beings created in our image. Love people because that's the way Jesus loved us. You realize Jesus loved us before we loved him. Jesus loved us before we turned to him in faith and said, Lord Jesus, I recognize that you're the Savior of the world, and I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. Jesus loved us before we ever turned back in faith to him. Bob Goff has written a book, and I think I put a book cover up there. Great book, written about 5 years ago. He came out. Bob Goff, it probably is the person that I know that best expresses this kind of agape love. And the way he describes it, he doesn't say love is this or love is that, or love is a feeling, or love is this warm sensation that we have, or love is this goodwill. He just says two words: love does. And he describes love as an action. And I'm going to quote Bob Goff a few times in this message this morning. Bob Goff says this: when you feel like you cannot explain your faith, go love someone. And you just did. When you feel like you cannot explain your faith to someone, go and love them. You just did. What does genuine, unselfish love look like? Well, I'm reminded of this. Think of a man and a woman in a dating relationship. And they're both, let's say the man is a Christian. I don't know if the woman is or not. Hopefully he is, because otherwise he shouldn't be dating her, not be unequally yoked. But if they're both Christians and they're dating, and the man expresses love toward this woman, and she does not reciprocate, she doesn't have the same feelings for him that he does for her. And that's probably one of the biggest tragedies in the world today is, you know, loving somebody and they don't love you back. And he says, I feel love for this person. She says, I'm sorry I don't love you in the way that you love me. I like you, you know, let's be friends kind of thing. Ah, you know, stab me in the heart. Let's be friends. Ugh. You know, that's because that's all you can be. And you want more than that, but it's not going to happen. You know, what would agape love do in a situation like that? You know, I remember hearing this one kind of a parody on an old poem. It says, if you love something, set it free. Or set them, if you love someone, set them free. If they come back to you, they're yours. If they don't come back to you, hunt them down and kill them. You know, no, that is not loving the way that God wants us to love. I mean, that's like the world saying, if you don't love me the way I love you, then and all of a sudden love turns to hate, and love turns to, you know, that rejection just has that ugly feeling that comes out of it. So instead of getting, when she says that he's not right for her and that their relationship isn't going to continue, yes, he feels hurt and disappointed. But instead of getting mad or sad or vengeful toward her, he just says, you know what? I hope that you'll be happy. I hope that you'll find someone who is right for you. I hope that you'll find someone who really loves you the way that you deserve to be loved. That's an expression of agape love. Even though she's no longer doing anything for him, he still is expressing that love for her. That is an unselfish attitude to try to understand what this kind of love is. That person finds somebody that they really do love, and you see them with that other person, you rejoice with them instead of going, you know, that guy, I don't know. Okay, so you have that. It's not a selfish attitude. John is known as the apostle of love. John, you know, has many times in his writings where he says, love one another. John says this, what is love defined by God? He says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Somebody that you see out there that can love somebody unselfishly, the chances are very good that they are born of God, because they now have God's Spirit inside that gives them the power to love a person unselfishly in that way. Paul continues in 1 Corinthians 13. Now he's going to define what love is. He said, if I do all these great things, whatever spiritual gifts I have, but I don't have love, it doesn't count for anything. And now he's going to say, this is what love is. This is what real godly agape love looks like. And he says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. In fact, love doesn't cut in line when we're at the picnic, right? Yeah, and you're hungry and you want that burger, and maybe there's only one veggie burger left, and you see Susanna Mayo in front of you and you just know she's going to take that veggie burger. So, okay, what does real love do? Susanna, you take the last veggie burger. You know, I'll just have potato salad. You know, what does real love look like? You know, it's patient, it's kind, it's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wrong. Oh my goodness, it keeps no record of being wrong. How high, I've quoted that a few times in conversations, and it's sometimes in the moment it's not appropriate to quote that. But it's like, it keeps no record of being wrong. Love cares more about who is hurting, and this is another Bob Goff quote. I'm going to quote about half a dozen of him through his book, Love Does. He says this, love cares more about who's hurting than who is watching. This love is goodwill. It's outwardly oriented toward other people. I like to define God's love by saying this love And this is what I say in weddings, when I officiate weddings. I say, this love that Paul's talking about always acts in the best interest of the other person. It doesn't act in a way that makes me feel good. It just says, what does this person need? What is this person, you know, how are they hurting? What is going to benefit and bless them? And that's the way I'm supposed to act toward that person. We get a chance to put it into practice if we are married to somebody every single day, to always act in the best interest of the other person. Bob Goff says this, give away love like you're made of the stuff. Give away love like you're made of the stuff, because we are rehearsing to spend eternity together. Give away love like you're made of the stuff. Paul continues in verse 6, it does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, it is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstances. I know some of you parents and grandparents, you have agape love toward your kids and toward your grandkids and toward some of your relatives that may have strayed far from God. And right now you don't know if they're ever going to turn around and embrace Jesus the way you hope they do and adopt the Christian faith and come back to God like you want them to. You don't know if they're going to do that. But what agape love to me says right here is that you never stop praying for them. You never stop sharing a good word about God. You never stop inviting them to church, because love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstances. And until that person draws their last breath, you don't know when or how or if they will turn around and come back to God. And I reference the thief on the cross when I say that, because he only had hours to live. Not very fair, right? Not very fair that somebody could be trying to follow God all their life like Nicodemus, and Jesus would say to Nicodemus, you've been a good religious person all your life. You've probably kept more commands than just about anybody else on the planet. And yet I say to you, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And then you fast forward and Jesus is on the cross, and there's somebody that absolutely didn't do very much at all to follow God and was a criminal and a revolutionary and was being crucified for his crimes. And he looks over to Jesus and he says, can you find it in your heart to forgive me too and let me come into your kingdom? And Jesus says to him, today I tell you, you will be with me in paradise. That's agape love. It's like you see what that person needs, you see what their heart does and how they respond to you, and you never, never give up on that person. You never know when they're going to come around. Here's an illustration about just completely selfless love. You know, selfish love versus selfless love. There's a pastor named Brian Chappell. He's from Missouri. He's a Presbyterian, and he tells a story about what happened in his own hometown. He says two brothers were playing on the sandbanks by a river. One ran after another up a large mound of sand, and unfortunately that mound was not solid, and their weight caused them to sink into the sand immediately and quickly. And when the boys did not return home for dinner, the family and the neighbors, they organized a search. They finally went down to the riverbank. They found the younger brother unconscious with his head and shoulders barely sticking out above the sand. And when they cleared the sand to his waist, he awakened, and the searchers asked, where is your brother? And the child replied, I'm standing on his shoulders. Talk about selfless love. Loving his brother so much that the older brother sacrificially put him on his own shoulders to lift him to safety. That is love. In Romans it says, but God proves his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't based on our own goodness. It wasn't based on our own moral worthiness. God didn't say, do this and act like that and keep these commands and avoid that evil. And if you can do all that, you know, 90%+ of the time, then I will love you. Then I will accept you. Then you can be worthy to come into my kingdom. That wasn't the way God acted at all. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why, when God exercises his divine love for us, He said our greatest need wasn't for us to be hammered with keeping commands and getting punished every time we went astray. God says our greatest need was for forgiveness. Our greatest need was for reconciliation with a holy God. And so God took that giant first step when he sent Jesus to us. Paul goes on in verse 8, and he says, prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge, all those power gifts of the Spirit, you know, speaking gifts, special knowledge, and then sharing revelation, because they didn't, in the Corinthian church in the mid-50s, and I don't mean 1950s, I mean 0-50s, in the first century, they didn't have the New Testament, they didn't have the written scriptures, so they were getting direct revelation from God to help them as they gathered in their worship services. So special knowledge, it'll all eventually become useless. And why is that? It says, because love will last forever. You know, all those spiritual gifts are great for us to use now. But you know, when we get into eternity and we get into God's presence, what will the gift of knowledge be good for? Why would we need any more knowledge? Why would we need any more speaking in tongues? Why would we need any more prophecy when we get into God's presence? When we get into heaven, we're going to have it all. In fact, it says in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, we can't even imagine what it will be like when Christ returns. But we do know that when he comes, we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. When that time to be with God in heaven comes, we're not going to need any more of those spiritual gifts. They're going to pass. But he who does the word of God endures forever. When we get to heaven, it's going to be a glorious place. And we don't, right now, Paul says, I think he says in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, right now we see as in a mirror darkly. We see a dim reflection. And I can imagine most of the mirrors, or what was used for mirrors in the first century, were these polished pieces of metal. It wasn't like a great mirror like we have now, not like the vanity mirror with the lights around it, where you get a great view of yourself in HD and see all your flaws. In the first century, you know, there was these metal, shiny metal pieces that people used to reflect their image, and it was a dim, it was a marred, it was an imperfect reflection. And Paul says, our understanding of God, our understanding of love, what love really is, our understanding of the gospel and the depth and the width and the breadth of the love of Christ for us that surpasses knowledge, right now we only have a dim view of that. We only have a partial understanding of that. But when the time of perfection comes, he says, these partial things will become useless. We're not going to need it anymore. We're going to see Jesus as he is, and all the questions that we have are already going to be answered. Can you imagine that? All the questions you might have. God, why? If you're loving and holy and good, why does this happen? Or why does it seem that I didn't get my prayers answered? Do you know, once we finish our series in 1 Corinthians, we're going to start a new series in the fall, and it's going to be the kind of series that I want you to be able to invite anybody from the community to. The series is going to be called Dear God. Dear God, letters that people write to God. And I think most of those difficult letters that people that have doubts in their faith, that people have questions about if Christianity is true, then why is this and that? Most of those Dear God letters begin with why. And we're going to address those coming in September, around mid-September, when we finish up in 1 Corinthians. We're still learning to love. Bob Goff says this, we are all amateurs when it comes to love. So for right now, since we're just amateurs, don't be too hard on each other. We're still learning to love. Paul says this in verse 12. He says in verse 13, these three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. Bob Goff says this, do what lasts and then get around to everything else. Do what lasts and get